Good morning, everybody. Well, at least it's morning for me anyways. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to the Tribe of Christians. I am Brandon Dawson, the founder and ministry leader. Today's date is March 20th, 2024. It is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. We've got a really interesting topic, something that I want to talk about. Of course, you guys are already talking about this. It's on all the major mainstream media headlines. It's on every YouTuber channel. Everybody is talking and commenting about this. What does God have to say about this? This is really interesting. I'm going to share the prophetic implications on what is going on with this massive, massive civil penalty against Donald Trump, the 450, I don't know where it's at now, the $400 million penalty against President Trump that his lawyers have come out and said that he does not have enough to secure the bond amount. And now a major question is arising about the Eighth Amendment, which is the unusual or cruel punishment. So I'm going to talk about this. What does God have to say? Does God have anything to say about this at all? Is there any kind of prophetical implications behind this? Because yes, there is. Yes, God does have something to say about this, and you guys are going to be absolutely shocked. I guarantee it. You guys are going to be completely blown away and shocked about God's answer behind what is occurring and why it is happening. Now, one of the things that I see floating around quite often surrounding these headlines is a word called unfair. Unfair. This is extremely unfair. It's unprecedented. It's horrific. And though it might be true, there's some things that I want to talk about that really pertain to the Christian life, the walking the life that we are called to walk. You know, nowhere in the Bible or anything like that, and I'm going to explain where I'm getting to with this in just a second. Nowhere did Jesus ever say that it would be fair or that it would even be right. In fact, Jesus said the exact opposite, that we would be persecuted, there would be various amounts and levels of suffering and persecution, that life most certainly would not be fair for us, definitely would not. And there are two aspects to this. One aspect is that the church is held to a much higher standard of accountability, much higher standard. And Peter talks about this, the Bible talks about this, that judgment will be much more severe for Christians, for those who knew the way, who knew the Word of God, but rejected it, or walked away from it, or did the opposite anyways. This is where we get the context, 1 Peter, where it says judgment begins first with God's household. Accountability is much higher for Christians. It's much higher for the church. It's much higher for the Jews, because we know. We know God. We know the way. We're called to walk in it and accordingly. Now, the other perspective of this is not just the higher standards of accountability, but Jesus said that unless... I don't want to actually misquote the verse, so I'm going to paraphrase it. But Jesus referenced a fruit or a seed that has to fall to the ground. Unless it falls to the ground, it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to be planted or prosper. Meaning there is a purpose in persecution. There is a purpose in suffering. And not a topic that we really don't like to talk about. It's a very difficult thing to have to endure and go through. And here in America, we really have things really well compared to the rest of the world. We actually, you know, supposedly have constitutional rights, and we're not being persecuted anywhere near as much as Christians are being persecuted in places like China or places in Africa that are extremely hostile to Christians, or even in the Middle East like Iran. So know, we have it very fortunate here in America that we don't have to suffer anywhere near this amount compared to the rest of the world. So I'm going to get back on topic, I promise. Answer this question about Trump and about this massive settlement. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention that's going to give some context going into this. So, number one, accountability. We're held to. How many of you guys have ever, you know, have ever kind of gone through something, did everything right, something unjust happened to you, and you ended up in court? Say, I'll give you guys a great personal example. When my wife and I lived in New York City, we went out for the day. We're just taking a day out, going shopping, just enjoying the weekend. And while driving, not like a highway or anything. We're on a city road. And in New York City, you know, you have all the buses, these bus stops, and the buses pull out into the traffic or whatever. So while we were riding, we were passing a bus, and this bus pulls out from the stop, pulls out, nearly runs me off the road. I kid you not, and almost hit us and caused an accident. And while this was occurring, I noticed the car behind me. This bus also almost hit the car behind me, and the car was swerving and almost ran the car off the road into oncoming traffic. So while I was observing this, I was looking in my rearview mirror. I was very concerned, not just for our safety, but also the car behind us. Well, as I was looking in the rearview mirror, I happened to miss the traffic light. I didn't see it turn red, and I accidentally ran the red light at the intersection. Unfortunately, there happened to be a cop right there, and so I got pulled over and stopped right away. And now I've never had a speeding ticket. Not since I was 16 years old. I don't have any. I've never had any traffic violations, or especially being in law enforcement. Yeah, I don't have anything on my driving record. Nothing. Not one hit. So I get pulled over, and the cop tells me, you know, hey, you know what happened or whatever, and about the light. So I explained the situation. I asked him if he saw what happened with the bus, and he said, no, I didn't see that. Well, I said, well, I don't know how you didn't see it, because the bus nearly caused an accident, nearly hitting me in the car behind me. And you know, explain the situation. Well, he said, well, you can explain it to the judge. Despite, you know, running my background check, no infractions or anything, gave me a ticket anyways. So now I get to court. We, you know, of course, I pled not guilty, get to court, and I could not believe what I saw. You know, I have worked in law enforcement, different law enforcement agencies. I have had to go before a judge. I've had to testify. I've been on both sides of the spectrum. So with in law enforcement. Now, we're in the courtroom, and I kid you not, I've never seen anything like this happen before. Well, there was quite a few people there for speeding. So the first one up is this riffraff thug looking dude, you know, just up to no good. You can just tell right off the bat, not trying to be judgmental, was driving over 100 miles an hour in a speed zone of 45 miles or less. So the cop gets up there, goes through his summary, his deposition, reads what happened, talks about the speed, the distance of the speed signs, and this was near a school zone, all this stuff. And, you know, talks about the radar, the calibration, all that, you know, very thorough, very good. Well, the judge, after the deposition, the judge asked the guy, you know, what happened, his side of the story. The guy just didn't say anything, said, I don't know. What does the judge say? Well, not enough evidence. Dismiss the case. Not enough evidence. I kid you not. Dismisses. The guy walks away. Second guy, second thug, very similar situation, speeding. You know, I don't remember exactly what the speed was, but it was outrageous. Same thing, goes through the spill, whatever. And dismissed, not enough evidence. So this happens twice in a row. Now, a white woman goes up there, and I think she may have been doing 10 miles over the speed limit. And she explains that she had an emergency, and I don't remember all the details, but that was her response, that there was an emergency. She was just trying to get there with a family member. The judge, guilty. Boom. So she gets it. Next two, a couple more thugs. I'm kidding you. It was just thug after thug. A couple more thugs go get up there. And what happens? Not enough evidence. Dismissed. Dismissed. So this goes on and on. White person gets up there, guilty. Black person gets up there, not enough evidence. Dismissed. I can already see how this case is going. So I'm one of the last ones to get up there. I get up there. And the cop goes through his... First of all, the cop wrote down the wrong address, the wrong intersection on the ticket. So I did question it, and I told the judge, well, this is the wrong. It did not happen in this intersection. It happened over here, and this is the location, whatever. So the judge did not care. I don't care, even though that's technicality. So... the cop goes through his information, blah, 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 blah. And, I go through mine. I explain the situation, you know. I've never had a ticket, no history, nothing like that. I was really concerned about the bus running us off the road and nearly hitting me and the car behind me. And being concerned about their welfare, I just missed the light, did not see it turn. Guilty. Boom. So, I did, you know, I had to pay that. I appealed it. I appealed the decision right away, and it didn't matter. They told me I still had to pay the penalty, about $200 and something. Had to pay the penalty. Goes on my an infraction goes on my record. And even though I appealed the decision, I still had to pay it. And of course, the appeal was not overturned. So horrific. I don't know if you guys ever experienced anything like that in your court system. I've never seen anything like this. This was in Queens, in Jamaica, New York City, in the Queens District Court there. Judge was on a social justice mission. So, it was absolutely, I've never seen anything like that ever in my entire life. Absolutely horrific. Absolutely. So, all that being said, now, is there injustices happening with against Trump? Absolutely, without a doubt. Is there a liberal, Democratic side, liberals' prerogative or mission behind this? Absolutely. It's definitely, without a doubt, election interference. Without a doubt, definitely discrimination, persecution, everything that you want to call it, and plus some, without a doubt. Is it right? Absolutely not. How many of you guys have gone through things that was not right? It was unjust, you know, for one way or another. No matter how hard you tried, maybe you were convicted of something that absolutely did not happen, not true, you know? I don't know. Happens all the time, more than you think. And yes, unfortunately, race does play a part. And usually it's the exact opposite. It's usually not the white people who are being racist. It's usually the other way around, some kind of social injustice type thing that, you know, prerogative. So we are definitely being discriminated against, without a doubt. Especially if you're a Republican, conservative, or pastor, or anything of that nature. So yes, absolutely. Trump, without a doubt, this is all political and whatnot. Now, all of that being said, let's get into some of the prophetic implications behind this. Prophetic. So several weeks ago, it's on my channel. you can go back and look it up. It's a few videos back, about a dream that God gave me about President Trump. About a dream in a very small window of opportunity. That's the name of the video. Just go back if you want. I'll put it in the about section, in the comment section, so you guys can go back and watch it. Well, a few weeks ago, I had this dream, and in the dream, I felt that the Holy Spirit was with me, and the Lord had a message to give to the president. The message was to repent, to turn back to him and to repent. Because 2020, President Trump, along with 70 of the nation's top evangelical leaders, put forward a two-state solution plan that would have divided Israel, would have divided Jerusalem, given 70% of Jerusalem, or Judea, to the Palestinians for statehood. That's against the Bible. 100% against the Word of God. So, 2018, we came out, recognized Jerusalem as the eternal Jewish capital of Israel. 2 years later, we come back and say, well, we're going to divide it. Although we recognized it, we decided we wanted to go forward, try and divide it, and give it to the Palestinians. So, Trump and the nation, and mainly the churches, are under under judgment, testing, trials, because of what happened. I've talked about that multiple different videos. Go back and watch the recent video I just published about the eclipse. So that's what this is about. So that was the message, was to go and tell President Trump to repent. And what happened in the dream was that I saw that massive judgment. The $350-400 million judgment against him had to be paid. And when this happened, I saw that it humbled the president. He was humbled, completely just humbled. And I saw that because the judgment had humbled him, humbled his spirit, it opened a small opportunity for him to receive the message to repent, to turn to the Lord. So I was doing everything that I could to get to him, to get that message to him. It was like all these layers of personal security were put up. So I'd get through one layer of security, go to the next, get through that layer. There's like 20 million layers of different levels of security just to get to him. And I was fighting my way through just to get this message to him. And no matter what I did, there was always another layer put up, a brick wall, something. And I got very close, and I believed, I had the faith to believe that if I could just reach him with the message, that he would receive it, he would believe, and he would repent for what happened. Because God said that if he repented, then he would restore the presidency back to him, he would give the anointing back to him, and in double portion than what it was before. So I was doing everything that I could because I knew it would bring revival to the nation, put the nation back on course, give us an extended period of grace. Well, no matter how hard I tried, and I got very close, I could just sense and feel just one room away. I woke up before I could get to him. The time ran out. So I believe that dream and all this that has happened, all these injustices that have happened to the president, were our purpose. And this, yes, this is liberals, the enemy, all that stuff doing this, but nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. So these things, I believe, are intentionally designed by God, allowed to happen to humble the president, to bring humility to the president, bring humility to the church, to humble them, to put us in a position to repent. Because God has called us to repent for nearly dividing up the land. And we've come so close. Man, Israel repented from it. Benjamin Netanyahu repented from it. Rejected all calls. Any kind of idea of two-state solution, they flat out rejected. They've learned their lesson. Even David Friedman, the former Israeli ambassador to Israel, he's even repented. Acknowledging, rejects any calls for two-state solution. All that's left is for the president and for the churches. Come out, just reject it. Just receive the word of truth. what God says about the land of Israel and stop trying to divide it. Stop trying to change it and do all this stuff. Leave it to God. You know, that appointed time has not come yet. So I put out the video, and I'm calling it a 40 days of repentance, because the eclipse occurs, you know, April 8th. So on April 9th is Nisan 1. That is the Jewish New Year. That's when the Hebrew Jewish calendar starts over. The calendar cycle starts over on Nisan 1. That is April 9th. So from Nisan 1 until Pentecost Sunday, I think it's May 19th, there's 40 days. 40 days. The eclipse path, you guys probably have already heard this, crosses over 7 or 8 cities called Nineveh. So the message is to repent. 40 days. Repent or be overthrown. Repent, be overthrown. So I believe. Now, here is what I'm going to make a very bold. I'm going to make a very bold prediction here. Now, this isn't a prophetic word. This is just me making a prediction based off of what I have seen. And from my understanding, this settlement will not be lifted. The judgment against Trump, it's not going to be lifted. It will not be overturned unless President Trump repents. The bond amount, there's no grace will be given unless repentance happens. That's my prediction. I'm going to predict that no matter what the president does, no matter how hard he tries, no matter how many appeals he puts in, even if it goes up before the Supreme Court, it's going to stay the way that it is, and it will not be overturned. Even as horrifically unjust as it is, the violation of this Eighth Amendment, all that stuff, I am predicting, and you know, I would say that I'm prophesying, but I can't say that because I haven't been shown out. But I'm predicting that judgment is going to stay where it is. Now, I am also predicting that should President Trump repent, finally repent, and his heart is humble enough, then the judgment will be lifted. And then you're going to see a massive changing of the tide and a turning of events. You're going to see one victory after victory in these court cases. A lot of things are going to start shifting in Trump's favor. Should he repent? Should he not repent, things are going to get worse. It's going to get much worse for him. It's not going to stop. And God's giving him 40 days. 40 days. Should repentance not come? And I'm going to make a prediction. And I'm actually going to prophesy this because all my years. No, just knowing who God is the word, all that stuff. My faith in the Lord. I can safely prophesy that he will not win the elections unless repentance comes. We're going to see something even worse than 2020. So, guys, that's kind of, you know, the Lord God is absolutely sovereign. He is just. He's merciful. He'll give us forgiveness. He'll reveal the sin. Give us every chance and every opportunity in the world. We have all of the signs, everything telling us. All these signs, they all point towards Israel. They all point towards God's covenant. The land, Jesus, Yeshua. Every sign in the world telling us to repent. The time is near. We're getting close. All we have to do is reach out and accept it. That's it. And turn away from it. That's all that we have to do. But man, we have grown so prideful. We have grown so, the church here in America is nowhere near. It doesn't even resemble anywhere near to its original foundation. We can barely recognize the church today. So much so that can't even call us the church. Are we truly the bride of Christ? Ask yourselves this question. Are we really living how Jesus has called us to live? Are we really truthful to the way? Are we really putting God first in every decision, every area of our life? It's a really important question. And Do you think the church is really conducting itself the way that it was designed to? Are we really looking after our neighbors? Are we really taking care of the homeless? Are we providing the solution? All really major questions, big questions. And if we don't repent now, we're going to have 4 more years of even more intense persecutions coming. Intense trials coming. And there will be a Kamala Harris presidency, and that's terrifying. Now, I'll say all this not to terrify or scare anybody or anything like that, but just to reveal to you guys that, yes, God is who he says he is. He is. He will do what he says he will do. He's faithful to his word, which means not only is he faithful and quick to forgive us, he's eager to forgive us, but he's also faithful to carry out those judgments, the consequences. So, guys, that's going to conclude it for this topic. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to reach out to me. As always, stay encouraged. Keep running your race. Stay encouraged. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Whatever you guys do, never, ever give up.